morning, everybody. We have a few announcements before the service begins. On Sunday, April 6th, which is in 2 weeks, the sermon title is Holy Humor Sunday, presented by our minister, Amy Shaw. And this will take a look at how to find the sacred in the absurd. It will be lighthearted and will be a good Sunday to invite those people you've been wanting to invite to check out our church. Invite one and all, and let's make this a great gust Sunday. And if you volunteer your time, energy, or ideas to keep our church going strong, please put your name on a leaf, which are hanging in the back of the church here, and put it on the tree. Thank you for all you do. Every leaf keeps our tree strong.
Each day is a chance for the accidental and the miraculous, the sudden joy and the unforeseen path. Let us take a moment this morning to appreciate the unexpected gifts of life. Come and let us worship together. Please take a moment to say hi or to introduce yourself to the people around you this morning.
This chalice and hope that it will be a golden thread which binds to all that has been and will ever be. Here the tender soul yearns. Here the greatest dreams are sighted. Here the sacred flame burns. Please join us in the opening hymn, which is in your teal book, number 1018, Come and Go With Me. Nancy will play it through first on the piano. Please rise as you're willing and able. Welcome to the Lake Country Unitarian Universalist Church. At LCUUC, we strive to surround our community with a spirit of love in everything that we do. My name is Laura Levenhagen, and I'm the worship representative this morning. As a welcoming congregation, we hope that all visitors, wherever they are on life's journey, whatever their backgrounds, however they love their life with sacred passion, will find a lasting home here. Please join us for refreshments and conversation in the social hall after the service, and while you're there, stop at our welcome table to find out more about LCUUC. Today's order of service includes announcements of upcoming church activities, and we look forward to all our friends, visitors, and members joining in. Please take a moment at this point in the service to silence any electronics you've brought with you. And again, welcome to all of us who are here this morning. We are so pleased that you have chosen to celebrate and worship with us.
One of the ways that we care for our wider community is by contributing to local food pantries We do this both financially and through the collection of non-perishable food items. If you have food items to share, you're welcome to bring them up. Carrie, do we want the kids coming forward? Since they stay back. Okay. So we're going to ask the children to stay in their seats this morning. If you have food, bring it forward, put it in, and then just return to your seat. Today's children's story for all ages, is a little bit different. You know, serendipity is what happens when something good or positive happens accidentally or without warning. It happens without trying. The song you are about to hear was originally produced as a public service announcement for children and young people by an Australian Railroad Board. Good friends, may I present to you the Likook Singers as they explain to young and old how not to experience serendipity.
Set fire to your hair, poke a stick at a grizzly bear, eat medicine that's out of date, use your private parts as piranha bait. Don't wait to die, so many dumb ways to die. Dumb ways to die, so many dumb ways to die. Get your toast out with a fork, do your own electrical work, teach yourself how to fly, eat a 2 week old unrefrigerated pie. Dumb ways to die, so many dumb ways to die. Dumb ways to die, so many dumb ways to die. Invite a psycho killer inside, scratch a drug dealer's brand new ride, take your helmet off in outer space, use the clothes dryer as a hiding place. Dumb ways to die, so many dumb ways to die. Dumb ways to die, so many dumb ways to die. Keep a rattlesnake as a pet, sell both your kidneys on the internet. Eat a tube of super glue, I wonder, what's this red button do? Ways to die, so many dumb ways to die. Dumb ways to die, so many dumb ways to die. Dress up as a moose during hunting season, disturb a nest of wasps for no good reason, stand on the edge of a train station platform,
drive around the boom gates at a railroad crossing,
run across the tracks between the platforms. They may not rhyme, but they're quite possibly dumbest ways to die. Dumbest ways to die. Dumbest ways to die. So many dumb, so many dumb
ways to die. Will you please help me to sing the children to their classrooms using Go Now in Peace?
Thank you.
some of you may have realized by now, we are in our stewardship month. And so before we do the offertory today, I'd like to invite Al Haskell and the Lost Souls String Band with special guest Boy Abundance to join us today. Al Haskell, could you please take it away?
Go ahead.
That's all right, the Lost Souls Band. How y'all doing? Glad y'all can make it here, all y'all. We tried to get your friend of mine, stewardship man, but he's fine. Yeah, that's not drama. Boy Abundance, would you please come join me? Y'all know Batman? Batman's got a sidekick. Boy Wonder, we've got Boy Abundance. In the beginning, there was nothing but a thought. Then four became 35. And now today, brethren, sisterin, near to about 150 adult members here, 87 kids. Can I get a hallelujah? Brothers and sisters, in the mystery of this hour, we come together today to remind you, yea, our budget be not funded. In fact, our cup hail it, don't run it over.
No, sir.
Now, y'all lean on each other, right? You know the song, Lean on Me When I'm Not Strong. Yeah, Boy Abundance, he's strong. He does not lean on me, no, not me alone. Because of you, you keepers of our UU dream, you sacrifice for our shared vision. In this church, your church, we do value questions over creed. Yet, outside these walls, a growing populace, yes, they claim they know the truth. They alone, the religious, the spiritual, the life-living truth. Boy, how's that make you feel?
Scary.
And all around us, these voices of arrogance, they're getting louder in their claim and in their desire to control your will, your society. And yet, you can fuel this little light of mine against this growing threat of these others' self-serving truth. Because you sacrifice for the greater good, we all together can speak freely and heal in a troubled world. Do not allow despair, do not allow want to grow here amongst us today. Embrace your spirit of abundance. Save your UU soul. Brothers and sisters, do you hear me?
Oh, yeah.
Bye.
trouble, make my fly. Get it from a will when we die. It's all about money.
All about money.
All about money.
All about money.
All about money. How we might get some.
Brothers, sisters, here we share seven principles. Together we build up a connected and impassioned and engaged community. Our roots, they hold us close, but wings alone know they cannot set us free. We ask for your generous financial commitment to further our mission so that we and our youth will go forth to do lasting good in this world. For you, for all of us, to keep spiritual freedom nourished, to live our shared principles, to embrace a deep and caring fellowship. Join me with us. Future great deeds. Let the spirit of life come unto you to be saved, to be blessed. Are you who pledge generously? You who can sacrifice your resources from nothing, yes, from nothing but a dream. You make this church. Together we make this church. Save us all. Advance your highest aspirations. To keep that spiritual freedom nourished and growing. For yourself. For abundance. For us all. May that flaming chalice inspire you to save your soul. Give your personal wealth. Burn those that don't share the burden. Today I call on you, help it thrive. Save your soul, nurture our roots, fill this cup.
Yay, I say fill this cup, and we will make it to Bratislava.
Thank you for that amazing and so subtle. The strong man at the circus squeezed the juice from a lemon between his hands, and he said to the audience, "I will offer $200 to anyone who can squeeze another drop from this lemon." And several strong-looking men tried it without getting a single drop of juice. And then a slender little woman stepped forward, picked up the lemon, squeezed, and almost without effort, a stream of juice poured out. The strong man was amazed. He paid the woman and asked, "What is the secret of your incredible strength?" "Oh, practice," the woman answered. "I was the leader of the stewardship drive for a Unitarian Universalist church for 32 years. Our morning offertory will now be given and received. Thanks for these gifts given and received for the life and continuing work of this community. This is the time in our service where we share our joys and our concerns. And we do this in two ways, by speaking them aloud and by lighting candles. Would anyone who has a joy or concern to share please raise your hand and the ushers will bring you a microphone.
This is Chris White. On behalf of the OWL instructors, which is our whole lives, which is our sexuality class, this year it was me, Bill Smith, John Stout, and Terry Copeland. We taught the middle schoolers this year. It started in January and wound up this weekend. And it's a joy for us to teach them, get to know them, and they're ready to go out into the world.
Hi, I'm Dan Krill. A candle for Isaac that he might get home from the hospital soon. And also one for Julie for being at his bedside day and night. She's going to need some extra healing when she gets home too.
like to light a candle of concern for the Red Star Nature Center, whose barn just burned down, and a candle of gratitude that it didn't cross the road and hit my house.
I'm Tammy, and in the spirit of the very interesting service we're having today, I'd like to light a candle of joy and concern. The joy is that Spamalot is a fabulous play, and it's been in town for three, this is its third weekend, and my concern is that I have two tickets that are going to go to waste. And if anybody would like to use them, the show starts at 2 this afternoon, and please see me after the service. Thanks.
I get one. Lynn, I'd like to light a candle of joy for all of our new members today who will be joining. And we're so happy to have you with us and to get to know you and you get to know us. And so please.
This is Carol. A candle of concern for my uncle. He lost his youngest son this week in a snowmobile accident.
This is Rob, and I have a joy for all facilitators for all the time and effort that they put in, Terry, Phil, John, and who am I missing? Chris. Yes, thank you very much.
We light our last candle today for all of those joys and all of those sorrows which we hold deeply, but which have not been named here. Our community and our church could not exist if it were not for the members who make up this congregation. Today, we are welcoming our new members who join us in beloved community. We actually have 10 new members joining us this time. Some are here today, some are not. So let me call forward those who are here. Would you please join me? Could I get Angela Emanuele? Dan, are you guys waiting till Julie?
Yeah.
Okay. John and Pam Presby. Harold Steen. Carol Cantrell. Laura and Zachary Suttinger. And we also have joining us but not present today, Bryn Volklich, whose mother has actually decided to check out the nearest UU church to her today, so Bryn was taking her. Here in this church, we have gathered seeking a higher purpose and deeper life than any of us could find alone. We are grateful today for each one of you that you have found your way here and you have decided to make a commitment to this faith community. We hope as a member of this church you will allow yourselves to know and to be known, to minister to and to be ministered unto, to love and to be loved by this congregation. The relationships we form in our church are based on the needs of the soul, needs that render each of us vulnerable, and therefore reliant on each other's grace and goodness and generosity of spirit. As members of this church, we pledge to be guardians of each other's spirits, to respect the ultimate privacy of each one's human struggle, and to believe in each one's inherent dignity. This is especially meaningful to me today. Historically, Unitarian Universalist ministers were called out from among their congregation to stand on the pulpit. Today, as your minister, I wish to recognize and reaffirm our roots, and I too will be joining you as a member of LCUUC. Don, if I could have you join me up here.
I'm Donna Grzelik, and I'm with the Membership Committee. As we come together, we recognize that each member must make a contribution to our religious organization, supporting the life and the work of this community financially and through gifts of time and talent. Together, we make this a vital and dynamic congregation, working for positive change in ourselves and in the world.
A member of a Unitarian Universalist congregation makes a free choice to join their life with that of a religious community. If you, standing here with Donna and I now, are ready to affirm that choice, please repeat the words listed on the sheet you have before you. I am ready. You ready? Please. I am ready. I will do my part to maintain the ongoing life and work of this congregation. I pledge to build relationships of mutual trust and respect within the community and to work toward congregational well-being and service in all that I do. As a symbol of this promise, I will sign my name and membership.
It is the joy and duty of our congregation to welcome you into this community of faith. Would the members of the congregation please read in unison the words of covenant and welcome included in your order of service?
We welcome you among us,
and we invite you to join us in the life and work of this community. In the bonds of fellowship and love, we unite to cultivate reverence, to promote spiritual growth and ethical commitment, to minister to each other's needs and to those of humanity, to celebrate the sacred moments of life's passage, and to honor the holiness at the heart of being.
What is? That's a good question.
There you are. As symbols of this welcome, we offer you the right hand of fellowship and a new member packet. We're glad you're here.
Each of you would like to step here to the chalice and just light your candle for a moment so we can give you all a big round of applause. We'd like that very much. If you just kindly step up and light directly from the chalice, please. Big round of applause for them. We had a slight change in the order of service. William Esty is going to provide us with a lovely moment of song.
It's a big, bright, beautiful world with happiness all around. It's peaches and cream if our dreams come true. It's a big, bright, beautiful world with possibilities everywhere. If true love is blind, maybe you won't mind the view. I know I'm not the handsome prince for whom you've waited. I don't have a fancy castle, and I'm not sophisticated. A princess and an ogre, I admit, is complicated. You've never read a book like this, but fairy tales should really be big, bright, beautiful world. I see it now, I'll let it in. I'll tear down the wall and clear a spot for two.
Please join me now in a few moments of silent thought, meditation, or the spirit of prayer.
Would you please stand as you are willing and able and join me in singing hymn number 1024 in the Teal Book, When the Spirit Says Do. Nancy will play it through once on the piano, and Karen, if you would call out the specific verses. Thank you.
In 2012, Metro Trains in Melbourne, Victoria, Australia, released a public service announcement that you heard this morning called Dumb Ways to Die. It was aimed at young drivers and those who would become young drivers very soon. And for any of you who have not seen it, it's available on YouTube. It's become one of their very popular videos. It's an adorable cartoon with the catchy song, and it was designed to stop people from getting hurt around trains. And according to Metro Trains, who took quite a bit of flack for this little catchy song, the campaign contributed to a more than 30% reduction in near-miss accidents in the winter months of 2012 and 2013. It made people think before something bad happened. It stuck in your head. I know I personally swore I would never sell both kidneys on the internet or dress up like a moose in hunting season. But for a group of us, my colleagues and I, it made us think a little more, a little beyond that catchy tune and bubblegum cartooning. Most of us, having made it this far, are pretty good about not randomly sticking a fork in the toaster. We don't chow down on a tube of superglue. But that doesn't always mean we're somehow safe from bad things happening. Bad things do happen. Bad things happen, good things happen, unexpected things happen. And bad or good, when the unexpected happens, people deal with it in all sorts of ways, some quite surprising. Anybody ever told you, I hate surprises? How many of you hate surprise birthday parties? I know I'm one of them. Sometimes even good surprises can be bad surprises. And sometimes when a surprise is good and the outcome is obviously positive, we just call it pure luck. And we wait for the other shoe to drop somewhere because we're sure it's going to. I still remember the old black and white movies I grew up with on Saturday mornings, where it would be a jungle movie and you would hear a lot of drumming and loud noises in the background, and someone would say, ah, you know, they're restless tonight. And if it was quiet and there was no noise, you'd hear, I don't like it, it's too quiet. Any way it goes, we're usually prepared for the worst, for the other shoe. And when something bad happens, if any good arises from it, I have noticed that people in general seem predisposed to regard it as somehow tainted because it's connected to whatever the bad thing was. But good can come from the strangest places, even the worst events, if we are prepared to allow it to do so. Serendipity is the unexpected good in life, the accidental moment of joy, regardless of what triggered it. You can't plan for it, but you can be ready for it when it comes. And UU history is a good place to see this once in a while. John Murray was a lucky man by all accounts. He went to a fine college, was well known as a respected universalist preacher, and he married very well. His wife actually loved him. And in time, they had a beautiful son. And then catastrophe struck. First his wife and then his son became ill and died. And unable to face the weight of ministry after this, John lost his job. His savings drained away, and at last he found himself in debtor's prison. With his world in ruins and his faith shattered, his family gone, he thought his life was over. Friends paid his way from prison and urged him to go somewhere far, far away and start over. He sailed for America on a ship named the Hand in Hand, and the wind blew the ship toward New York, and John contemplated what he would do when he got there. In September of 1770, as they neared the coastline of the New World, a fog rolled in and the ship ran aground in New Jersey. Being that Snooki and the cast of Jersey Shore were nowhere in sight, he wasn't quite sure what to do. The ship was in little danger of sinking, but it was stuck fast on sand and rock, and they had to wait for a wind to break it free. And John and a few others volunteered to haul out the ship's boat, row to land, and get directions. They also decided they might take on some supplies while they waited for the wind to change. And after rowing ashore, John saw a farmhouse with a little church beside it. And it so happened that it belonged to the man who wandered out to greet them, a man named Thomas Potter. Thomas Potter welcomed them, shook John's hand, gave him food for everyone on the ship. and had invited him to come back and have dinner with him that night. And John did that, and when he returned, Thomas Potter showed him the little church. Potter said that he had come to believe in a loving God, a God who wanted to accept everyone into heaven. At the time, this was an incredibly radical idea. This was not something you heard in church. You heard sinners in the hands of an angry God. You heard about gods who punished and a God who controlled. But you didn't hear this. And John was absolutely shaken that his newfound friend had said this, and told him he believed the same thing. And Potter told him that he had built the church by hand himself and was waiting. He'd asked God to send him the minister. You, John, are that minister, he told the surprised man. I have been waiting for you such a long time. Now, as you can imagine, this was not the news that John Murray wanted to hear. His faith was shattered. His family was gone. He was still bearing the title minister only because he couldn't imagine losing it. But preaching was the last thing on his mind. He had, in fact, sworn in front of witnesses and before God that he would never, ever, ever preach again. Feel where this is going? Thomas Potter didn't give up. He was confident that God personally had sent John Murray to him. And he asked John to preach on Sunday. I can't preach on Sunday, said John, because the wind is going to change and my boat will sail and I must be on it. You can sort of imagine the tone of just total relief in his voice. But if the boat hasn't sailed by Sunday, will you preach? Said Potter. Yeah. If I'm still here on Sunday, sure, I'll preach, said John Murray. Never before had a man prayed so hard for a stiff breeze and a prevailing wind. But Murray's prayers went unanswered. Without wind and totally becalmed, the ship remained stuck where it was. And on Sunday morning, September 30th, 1770, in the chapel that Thomas Potter had unknowingly built for him 22 years earlier, John Murray preached his first American sermon. You may not realize this, but preaching is like any other addiction. It's almost impossible to stop once you've started. And once he preached, once he felt that energy and that fire again, John Murray found the mission and purpose that his life had lost. He never stopped preaching the word of universal love. And he became one of the founders of what eventually became our faith tradition here in the United States. And he did it because essentially he crossed an ocean and ran out of gas. Now, I can't speak for anyone but myself, but moments like these where things go wrong have never been high on my list of things I'd like to happen to me routinely. And yet, 2 years ago or so, I was driving back to Ohio from Chicago with my best friend from seminary. Outside of Gary, Indiana, 1 mile before the Calumet Avenue exit, to be very exact, we blew out a tire going 80 miles an hour. I managed to get the car safely off the road on the left-hand side where there was a large breakdown area and even a strip of urban prairie. And the tire had torn itself to shreds and the rim was stuck fast. Dumb Ways to Die had just come out. and it was stuck in my head as I jumped up and down on a tire iron, and I prayed I wouldn't be sideswiped by a Prius. We called AAA and spoke to an extremely nice and extremely confused young woman who asked us for directions and then told us help would arrive eventually. An hour or so later, the sun began to go down, and my friend and I were able to watch one of the most gorgeous red and pink sunsets I have ever seen, still sitting by the expressway. And looking up at the sky and the grass on the side of us and out across the cars and the strip of prairie, he said, you know, when you look at what we're seeing, wow, it's really beautiful. And then you smell the gas, you hear the cars, it makes you think about how it all fits together, the contrast. And I was very cold and quite out of temper, and I believe my response to him was something like, I hate you more than anything in the world. And he started to laugh and tease me, and eventually I was able to start laughing. I was so busy wallowing in my annoyance that I didn't even want to see how beautiful it really was. He wasn't kidding. And it took me a minute to shift those mental gears and realize what I was seeing was stunning. We ended up spending 3 hours by that road, laughing and talking and being together. We met a couple of really great guys on the highway crew. And when the AAA woman arrived, it turned out she was dealing with a sick and aging mother and was panicked, and was most grateful to have run into two ministers stranded by the side of the road because she needed to talk. We were doing what we were supposed to be doing, where we were supposed to be doing it. We just hadn't expected to be doing it quite that way. It is easy to get so connected to what should be happening that what is happening become something to fight against or even ignore. Good or bad, if it wasn't what was planned, it becomes unimportant as we rush to get it back on track, to get back to what we said we were doing rather than what was happening. Fantasy writer Tom Zadier says, of course, that's how life is. A turn of events may seem small at the time it's happening, but you never really know, do you? How can you? One phone call leads to a world-changing life event. One date changes your entire universe. One sentence, your entire life. How can you know? It takes mindful examination of life, minute by minute and day by day, to recognize the moments where well-laid plans may go awry, but possibilities are born. This is a question of relationship with ourselves. How many times have you stood there saying, I should have done something different? I could have done something different. People are going to think I'm an idiot. I am an idiot. It was all my fault. I did this. It's all ruined. How often? And it's just as easy to learn to say, what's next? I can fix this. How incredible. I never expected that. Blaming yourself, shaming yourself, defending yourself against others' opinions, and forgetting to examine what's become possible now that the circumstances have changed. Growth and learning are not about blame. They are about potential. Even if you poked that bear with a stick, even if you were the guy out there metaphorically pouring gasoline on that wasp nest, you didn't think whatever happened was going to happen. Nobody plans to do something really dumb. It's not your fault. Buddhists and Jews, Jesuits and Lutherans, groups from many religions believe there is really no such thing as a coincidence. Each thing that happens is a divine hint, or the universe itself attempting to provide us with a teaching opportunity. Others have said it's karma, or maybe just the ripples sent out in the world coming home to roost. Whatever the reason, and no matter what happens, our call is to stop and explore the situation, to reassess what is possible, to look for something good that may have been created. Run out of gas and realize you're really enjoying that walk to that gas station. Miss your exit and explore a park you never knew existed. Get sent the wrong pizza and discover you love anchovies. Answer a wrong number and find the partner you had been missing for 30 years. Serendipity is the unexpected good in life, the accidental moment of joy, even in the bad times, even in the good times. You can't plan for it, but you can be ready when it comes. Or not. Choice is absolutely up to you. Amen.
Would you please stand as you are willing and able and join me in singing hymn number 1028, The Fire of Commitment. We have extinguished our chalice, knowing that wherever we go, we will find sudden moments of light.
Thank you.
this place knowing that where there is life, there is also the potential for joy. Walk bravely into the world and reach out for all that is good. Peace, and may it be so. Thank you.